ओम ज्ञानतिमिरं तस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. I've been asked to speak on balancing service and sadhana. So we've been out of balance and I haven't been able to speak on this up to now, but I'll attempt to do so. We can discuss some points about that. What is the ultimate solution? What is the ultimate adjustment? I can't say, because I face the same problem. And anyone who's serious about Krishna consciousness must face this problem, because problem, well, it's a good problem to have. It's a better problem than the problem of going to hell by worshipping a bogus incarnation or eating meat or something like this. So there are always problems, but we are blessed if we have this kind of problem, that we're thinking, I want to do more sadhana, I want to do more service to Krishna, and how to balance it all. That's a good. If we have this problem, then we're fortunate. If we're having the problem of thinking, how can I get a bigger house, a bigger car, then we're in Maya. So balancing service and sadhana. Sadhana is necessary to be performed. And there are various services also for pressing on the Sankirtan movement, which also have to be performed. We should perform sadhana 24 hours a day, chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, worship the deities. We should do 24 hours a day. And as far as various services for pressing on the Sankirtan movement, we should also do 24 hours a day. So there's no limit to how much sadhana we can do and how much service we can do. Actually, service is also one kind of sadhana. As much as sadhana means activities which are meant for cultivating the consciousness that fructifies as sadhya, or the ultimate goal. So sadhana is shuddha bhakti, the process of following or observing the activities which are anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kamadina vitam anukulyena krishnana shilanam bhakti ruttama. Activity, this cultivation of Krishna consciousness in a manner favorable to Krishna, aspiring to be free from all material desires, from the covering of karma kanda, jnana kanda, which elsewhere, Narottam Das, we were just singing a song of Narottam Das. Narottam Das Thakur says, karma kanda, jnana kanda, shakali bishera bandha, amrita boliya jiva khai. Nana joni shada firi kadarja bakhanna kare, tara janma adha pate jaya. He says that this karma kanda and jnana kanda, which are much lauded, they are simply pots of poison, but they are considered nectarian. By persons attached to them. But the result of attachment to these asat activity, they may be described as sat in the Vedic literature. Therefore the actual Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, begins with dharma projeta kaitava atra vedyam vastavam atra vastu. Atra, this word comes three times in this verse. So herein, here, cheating religion is fully rejected. And here, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. Here, the actual message of the Vedas, the actual object of the Vedas is described. So, Asat. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Asat. That which is not Shuddha Bhakti, that which is not pure devotional service to Krishna, is all Asat, improper, temporary, impermanent, inauspicious. Those who are attached to Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, they simply have to rotate in various species of life, such as those of the crows and pigs that eat mucus and garbage and stool. They have to take lower birth. So sadhana, shuddha bhakti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized 9 philosophical principles of the Gaudiyas, in which he defines sadhana as shuddha bhakti, cultivation of pure devotional service, and sadhya, the goal to be attained, as sadhya tat pritim, love of Krishna. So service is also sadhana. We shouldn't think that service is not sadhana, that it's something completely different. Service is also purifying, and sadhana is also service. So, in one sense, making a distinction between sadhana and service is artificial anyway. It's all meant for purification, and it's all, if it's executed with the proper mentality and under the proper directions, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then it's all service. It's meant to be performed with, in the mood of service. However, when we say sadhana, we generally refer to activities that are directly hearing and chanting about Krishna. There are two sides. Bhagavati Marg, Pancharatrika Marg. Pancharatrika Marg. So hearing and chanting about Krishna, that comes within Bhagavata Marg. And serving the deity of Krishna, that comes within Pancharatrik Marg. So especially in Kali Yuga, hearing and chanting about Krishna is more important, but deity worship is also required. So this is directly in the category of sadhana. And service may involve many activities which may appear to be mundane. But they're not mundane if done in the spirit of service to Krishna and to facilitate service to Krishna. Krishna is brushing the teeth. Is that bhakti? We don't find in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that is mentioned, brushing the teeth among the principles of bhakti. But it is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as an activity which a devotee should perform. Now it's not just the devotees performing, even big atheists, they brush their teeth. But when a devotee brushes his teeth, he does so as an accessory to his sadhana. That falls within bodily maintenance, because the body is dedicated for the service of Krishna. So for the devotee, even brushing the teeth becomes an act of bhakti. But it's not a primary activity. It's not that one can simply brush one's teeth and consider that bhakti. But if one's life is dedicated in the service of Krishna, then activities for the maintenance of the body, that also falls within the category of bhakti, because the body is dedicated in the service of Krishna. However, bodily activity should be minimized because they're not directly bhakti. Eating, sleeping, brushing teeth, all these things, they should be minimized. We should not increase. Just like I was saying, if one thinks I should get a big house, that's maya. Well, one may say, I've had devotees of sorts tell me that they want to get a big house so that they can serve devotees. They can invite devotees. You can invite devotees, but you know, 99% of the time you're living there in your big house and it's serving your comforts. So you may say it's for serving the devotees, but there's some kind of self-cheating is going on. That in the name of bhakti, we make so many arrangements for our own sense gratification and prestige. In the service, there are many activities to perform in the Sankirtan movement. In the modern age, the technological development has made it possible to perform many more activities than were possible in previous ages. I'm always fascinated how during classes devotees become absorbed in their fingers and fingernails. It's a common syndrome. Yeah, in the modern age there are so many things we can do. There was an idea at one point that we'll develop all modern conveniences and then people will have more time to just relax. But what's happened is that life has become more complex and there are more things to do. And so people lead very stressful lives. Either they're stressed by being the employment, you're employed to work for so many hours a day and the employer wants to get maximum time out of maximum. He wants to, if he's employing you for 8 hours a day, he wants to get 12 hours of work out of you. Or in India, often they just work you till they work you literally until you drop, until you have a physical or mental breakdown. Then they employ someone else. They don't give a damn. So work is there. And then for those who don't have work in this ridiculously imbalanced society, those who don't have work, they're also feeling stressed because they don't have work and they feel themselves worthless or useless or having nothing to do. The state of having nothing to do typifies the mode of ignorance, so they be drawn into the mode of ignorance and they become drawn toward excess sleeping, intoxication, madness. Pramada lasya. These are two prominent symptoms of the mode of ignorance. Tamagun. Just complete madness and laziness. So it's a very stressful age, and we find that devotees also, with the modern so-called conveniences, there are many more things they can do than in previous ages. Life has become very complex, and the ability, for instance, the ability to communicate with people, that makes life more complicated, not easier. On the whole, more complicated. Just like when email first came, so, well, that's very convenient. Now you can be in better contact with others. But then the downside of it came, that it's inconvenient because you get too many emails. And it's, how can you handle so many emails? So that's the nature of material life. That everything we think will be very good, then we find out ultimately it's not so good. There's no perfect situation. So there are so many things we could do in the modern age. Service. And so many things should be done, because without knowledge of Krishna, people are galloping full speed in the wrong direction, away from Krishna. They're becoming more and more sinful and more materialistic. Modern technology has facilitated people's going to hell very quickly and very spectacularly. It means they're going for a long time. Because of the modern technology has made possible more sinful activities. More meat eating. With factory farms, refrigeration, mass transport. All these factors are required to put the slice of meat on your plate. Not your plate, someone's plate. And the result is not very auspicious, to say the least. Very inauspicious. So devotees are busy distributing books, performing other activities for pushing on the Sankirtan movement. So many activities. If you weren't sitting here, there's so many things you could be doing. You could be out distributing books, distributing prasadam, meeting people personally, speak to them, organizing programs in various places. There's unlimited service to do in the preaching movement. There's also the minimum stipulation for initiated devotees to chant minimum 16 rounds. And we should also regularly attend kirtan, study Srila Prabhupada's books, hear them explained. It may be very difficult. Where is the time? Because we have so many services. And apart from that, those who are family people, they also have jobs. So it's, you know, you're being pulled on at least three sides. What to speak of social life. So you're being pulled on so many sides. And how to balance it all. Well, I'm not in exactly the same situation as you. I congratulate all of you for taking up Krishna consciousness despite the difficulties of modern life, and you don't have so much time. I have more time, theoretically, because I don't have to go to an office or shop or a factory to earn money. So theoretically I should have more time to devote for directly Krishna conscious activities. Where is the balance? Well, I just made the balance for somehow I became very late on chanting rounds today, so I just absconded from the program for some time and chanted some rounds. So that's one way of doing things. Of course there are constraints there. I mean, we see some may take time off work to do some service or sadhana activities, and they do it too often, they may lose their job. The job is also required as long as they're maintaining their family. Like that. Or someone might cut down on their sadhana, but then they're doing service, but then what for? Why without hearing and reading, they fail to understand what it means. You may know, you may have heard, and you say, oh, now I know everything. But knowing in Krishna consciousness doesn't mean some academic knowing. It means keeping prominent in our consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada often spoke about the same points again and again. And I also, whatever I may be saying is not new. I think all of you must have heard this before. I think the things that I'm saying, I hope so. But we require to hear again and again. Otherwise, we tend to become dull in our understanding, to forget why we are doing what we are doing. And the purification will not be there if we don't chant rounds regularly. So, sadhana has to be, service activities have to be supported by sadhana. If we think that, okay, there's so much to do for preaching, let me just perform preaching activities, then we'll lose the potency. Those activities don't have that potency, and the firmness of determination to do that will slacken. Now, on the other hand, if we do only, I have no time for this, that, then we have no time for sadhana. We're so busy in service. That's what I was saying. Then if we're so busy, and there are two sides. If we're so busy in service that we don't have time for sadhana, that's no good. If we're so busy in sadhana that we have no time for service, then that's also, then the proper balanced development of our Krishna consciousness won't take place. So what's the solution? Srila Prabhupada's suggestion was that we make our own Krishna conscious communities so that we can perform our work and after work we can all come together, all in the evening, and hear and chant about Krishna. Even those who are even those devotees who are not very philosophically inclined, it's not that everyone's going to sit down and read for 4 or 5 hours every day. They can hear from others. This way we can make the balance. Modern life is too much pressure. Too much pressure to work hard for what? Just to maintain what we call a normal existence. But normal existence nowadays means so many artificial necessities. We, as a normal, prestigious member of society, we consider it necessary to have at least 2 cars for our family, and there should be new cars, mind you, not so. There's people judge you by your car. So we have so many. We have to maintain our position with so many cars and machines and so many artificial things in our houses, and therefore we become pledged to work. But actually, if we live very simply, then we don't. It's not required to work so much, to earn so much, to support that which we don't need. So that was Prabhupada's idea. that devotees can live in a simple manner. No need for the so many artificial necessities. Live simply and save time for chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that he made the observation that those who are not prepared to live simply, they won't be able to stay on our farms. It's not so much a matter of physical health, but it's more a matter of attitude. That if one thinks, well, I need this comfort and that comfort, I need water that comes out of a tap, water out of a tube well, I can't, you know, every time I have to go to pull the bucket up. It's too much. Why don't we just turn the tap on? But if we turn the tap on, it seems very easy. But to support that tap, we have to work hard to pay the taxes so that the water comes. So life is unnecessarily complex, because to maintain all these things which make life seem comfortable, we have to work. So this alternative that Prabhupada gave was to work, but in a manner that will not entangle us in ugra karma, gross activities, but which will purify our desires. As long as one lives in this world, one has to do some kind of work. Nahi yatra pichate na prasam sharira yatra pichate na prasiddhyate karmana. As Lord Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, that even to maintain the body, one has to do some kind of work that is required. But Prabhupada recommended that don't do that kind of work which will incarcerate you in the material world. But rather, if we can live very simply as devotees together, produce our own food, then we don't need so many items that we have in modern society. We don't need all that. We can live without that. That's a real hero who can turn his back on the modern materialistic society. And in the press, they always criticize very strongly persons who in previous ages would have been considered very saintly for their decision to live very simply. They think, this person's crazy. Who is crazy? Srila Prabhupada asked that question, and early on in the days of the moon, who is crazy? People are simply working to get more and more money to maintain this status quo based on prestige more than anything. Or persons who think, I don't need to waste my life like this. I want to act for Krishna. It takes boldness to do so, no doubt. It's a bold move. And you would say it's a risky move, because any move is a risk, because you don't know what's going to work out. It's just how high the stakes are. So we're talking a lot about Srila Prabhupada's desires for vanashram and farms. Someone has to go and do it, and then devotees have to come and stick with it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's So books, yeah, books actually written that, on this subject of Varnashram. People have to actually take it up and do it. Recently I met Purusha Triswami from Brazil. He said, I don't believe in all these talks about Varnashram. We're doing something here, we're making farms. So theoretical talking, not very valuable. Of course, it's some start. It's a method of regulating and organizing our lives so that we can maximize our time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that is the idea of the Varnashram or the farm community, that we all live together and chant Hare Krishna. The land produces food, we store grains especially and other items that may last a long time, and in this way live a simple life. Now I may say, well, on the farms there's so much work, but that's true when there's only one or two people to do the work. When there are many, then the work doesn't expand very much. The work doesn't expand and there are plenty of workers, and children are welcome. Whereas they're welcome because they join the workforce, they help. There's a lot of work to do, they can help with that. Whereas in modern life, people don't like to have children, or they like to have just one or two because it's very expensive to have children. Someone, I think, Jayadvaita Maharaj was quoting in one seminar he wrote called The Hopes and Horrors of Family Life. So he wrote that, I think it was 3 million, anyway, some fantastic figure. Just for dedicating someone to the school, they'd have to pay so much money. And even then, many who go to school, there's so many schools, and they may not learn properly. But one thing's for sure, they don't learn about Krishna in such schools. So such schools are ultimately useless. So some devotees, those who have the determination to do so, they could, it's not impossible, they can just cut out from this sense gratification, demoniac, going to hell civilization, and decide that what is important in my life, train. Who's going to train my children? We don't have proper schools, so what's the solution? Well, you can make one yourself. Live simply. Not here in this country. It's very difficult to live simply in this country. Some years ago, I was in North Carolina, Prabhupada Village, and someone was building a house. I said, why don't you make the toilet separate? The old word is outhouse. It is outside, it's not connected with the house. He said, well, state laws make that impossible. It has to be indoors. So, the devotees were building simple cabins for themselves, but it didn't look very simple to me. It looked like overly comfortable for people who had profess to be living simply. But actually, if we live simply, then we don't need much. We can continue with our lives without spending thousands and thousands of dollars every week So that is a possibility to be considered. That what do I really want to do with my life? Well, that's a possibility that one can leave all this activity, live simply, chant Hare Krishna, and show how others can lead a Krishna conscious life. Now we may say, well, that's not very practical for me. It's not impractical, but most people, they don't want to do that for one reason or another. So what should we do? Householders do if they want to make the balance between sadhana and preaching? Sadhana has to be there. Activities meant for furthering the Krishna consciousness, especially preaching, they also have to be there. Well, it's very difficult to answer that. Each individual case has to be considered separately. But I would say that the most important thing is to chant, as Srila Prabhupada has instructed us to, at least 16 rounds a day, clearly chanting our mantra. Srila Prabhupada wrote, this is the most important instruction of the spiritual master. That should be not neglected. We have taken this vow, it should be done. Even if there's a lot of service, you have to do this. That which we vowed to follow the four relay principles, to chant Hare Krishna, to engage fully in the service of Guru, and that is a function of the internal energy that is completely spiritual. Even though to the mundane person, it may appear to be material. Just like this stove, we heard the click, 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 the lighter used for the stove. So you may say, well, it's the same stove in everyone's house. But this is a fully transcendental stove because it's used for Krishna's service. Everything used for Krishna's service becomes spiritualized. Just like the red hot iron in the fire. The iron rod is put in the fire. First of all, it's cold. Gradually it becomes warm, warmer, warmer, warmer. Then it gets to a certain point. We can no longer say that it's warm. It's hot. So it's so hot that if you touch it to, say you touch it to a piece of paper, the piece of paper will catch fire. So that has imbibed the quality, by association with fire, it has become equivalent to fire. So everything a devotee does, devotee means he does everything for the service of Krishna, and therefore all his possessions, his paraphernalia, that also becomes offered to Krishna automatically. So what is the balance? There's so much work to do, there's so much service to do. In the case of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada that, what should I do? I'm so busy and I'd like to read more, but I'm so busy I don't have time. Srila Prabhupada answered that, well, you eat less and sleep less. That was his solution. Do more. Prabhupada told him, what was it to read? Srila Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj to read his books, Prabhupada's books, 2 to 3 hours a day. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, well, how is it possible? I'm so fully engaged. Prabhupada said, then eat less and sleep less. In other words, the extreme necessity of Krishna consciousness is being stressed, that we should practice very well and spend a lot of time in service. And then, of course, if you have job and family, social responsibilities, there's less time. And we're enjoined to sleep less and eat less, but as long as we are conditioned by the body, we have bodily needs also. So we may eat less and sleep less, but then we find after some time that we become sick. So what is the solution? The solution is get out of this material world and go back to Godhead. And then there'll be 24 hours service, 24 hours sadhana, everything. And no stress. Or even if there's stress, it's transcendental stress. And while we're in this world, what to do? I'm still trying to work it out. Again, householders, I have to congratulate you more for your endeavors, because you're trying so hard to do so many services, even though you are under pressure in work. You don't have so much time. Sannyasis and brahmacharis, they have more time. So a farm possibility is there, may not be, or just retire somehow. It may not be very practical, for our devotees may feel themselves not ready for that. But one thing that some sannyasis do is they go on retreats. Grihasthas can also do it, where you just go away for some days with other devotees, or maybe I myself may go away with just one or two devotees for writing. It means the service doesn't stop, but I become withdrawn. Because actually we also need time. Physically also we need time to rest. Mentally we need time to rest by sleeping. And physically, the body is not only active all the time, but even spiritually, we need time apart from reading and chanting and performing various services like going out and distributing books, cooking for various programs. We also need time to be a little withdrawn and introspective, so that we can, without the pressure of trying to cram, now I have to do my 1 hour's reading and cram it in, try not to fall asleep while we're reading, then we also need time where we can relax and study, and then we can go to a deeper level of study and deeper level of chanting. So if possible, if you can do, that's very useful. Actually, I have quite a few disciples in Dubai, and they get their holidays and they run over to India and they charge all over the holy places. They run from Mayapur to Puri, all around South India, go to Badrinath in 2 weeks, and they come back to Dubai completely exhausted after their holiday, and they run. But I'm telling you, better. Okay, you did it once or twice, now you can say, I went here, I went there, been there, what is that? Been there, done that, something Nancy was saying, that's an American saying, been there, done that. But I'm told, I don't think anyone did it yet, but you just take, alright, you have 2 weeks holiday, alright, just don't go in. You can go to Mayapur and stay there, or just don't go anywhere. And read Prabhupada's books. Absorb yourself in that. Take time to do that. It's like, you know, they're always working hard, a lot of work, and then it's like, and then a lot of programs, and they just can't slow down. We need to slow down sometimes. That for our own spiritual advancement, and maybe even our spiritual advancement. I read something by Niranjan Maharaj once in which he was saying that he'd stopped his traveling and he'd cut down on his traveling a lot. He was only giving one class a day, and he was reading more, but the devotees were appreciating that by doing that, the quality of his classes, the depth of that he was able to bring to it, it was noticeable. So that was, Niranjan Maharaj now, he has a lot of stress and blood pressure because, you can imagine so many disciples, and we householders have one or two children, that's a lot of responsibility. But if you have, 2,000 children, that's a lot more, And different centers, GBC duties, so can be very stressful. But it's glorious to take that stress for Krishna. Is glorious. I mean, there are quite a few devotees who in the past have been told slow down, or even at present they're told slow down, doctor's orders, disciples trying to get their gurus to slow down. Tribhuvanath Prabhu was such a devotee. His sadhana, he didn't have much sadhana, but in service, he was always organizing festivals. And eventually he collapsed at Heathrow Airport. He fell down and cracked his head. And then he went to the hospital, and they diagnosed that apart from that, he also had cancer. And shortly after that, he passed away. He was only in his early 50s. And he was always pushing himself throughout his life. He passed away young, but it was a glorious life. I mean, you might think, well, better to have slowed down a bit and live longer, and then you can give your associate, you can go on serving longer. That's another outlook. To pace yourself. Yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnavabodhasya yoga bhavati dukaha. In the yoga process, it is recommended by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, according to the yoga process, to eat moderately, sleep moderately. Natyashna tastu yoga sina. What is that verse? Anyashna is yoga sina chantanta. Nachati swapna shila sa jagrato naiva chantanta. I can't remember exactly. Says that one who eats too much or sleeps too much, eats too little or sleeps too little, cannot practice yoga. So moderation, not too much, not too little. It's good for health also. Balanced approach. But there are some devotees who just push themselves. And Jayapataka Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Radhanath, actually every Maharaj, but some more than others, who they're really working hard, and they're like on a permanent marathon. And it tells on their health. Disciples, God brothers are trying to slow them down, but they are. They want to give every moment of their lives for pushing on the Sankirtan movement. So there are different approaches. Whatever we do, if we hear and chant about Krishna by sadhana, that is glorious. If we perform activities to push on the Sankirtan movement, to try to help others to come to the platform of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is maybe even more glorious. On the other hand, another consideration is that we're doing so much work for preaching, but we're preaching what? We're preaching to people to come to Krishna consciousness so they can hear. Without hearing and chanting, who is Krishna? We won't know how to make progress. For someone who's very advanced, they can do their sadhana on the run, so to speak. For others, it's not a joke. Harayanama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Sansteva, Gathira, Nyata. Apart from preaching about chanting Hare Krishna, we require to chant Hare Krishna ourselves. And even if we're preaching about chanting Hare, but if we're so busy preaching and running here and there and doing different things, that we ourselves don't have time for hearing and chanting, well, someone may be strong than internally that their hearing and chanting is going on always in their heart, but they also, a part of preaching is to set an example for others also. So these are all different considerations. And if there's one easy, clear solution to all this, someone please tell me. Like I said, I didn't work it out yet myself. Yeah, go back to Godhead. That's it. And if we do this, we'll go back to Godhead by Krishna's mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy. Any more thoughts about this? Anyone? Some thoughts I had.
One sacramental devotee once mentioned that he has basically two parallel paths in his mind. One is always working for Krishna, one is to do day-to-day activities.
Yeah, two parallel. I was talking about that yesterday when we were meeting disciples, that there's always a dilemma that we want to hear and chant more and we want to do other various activities, services more. For devotees, one devotee pointed, Godbrother of mine pointed this out in relationship to myself, and he said, Prabhupada, and maybe all acharyas have this dilemma, that they need to write for the sake of writing, gives systematic instruction for devotees today and for posterity. But it's also required, writing requires concentration, seclusion, time. But there are also so many important activities to do, going here, going there, meeting devotees, performing programs like this. So there's a tension between the two. Prabhupada's solution was he would preach all day. Actually, Prabhupada, he rested in the day for about 2 hours. But at night, he would also rest about 2 hours generally. And then at night he would work, so on his books. When everyone else was resting, he would work on his books. So one godbrother said to me, well, why don't you do that? Physically, I'm not capable. We require sufficient rest for that. We can maybe do for 1 day or 2 days. In the early days of our movement, it was very common that devotees, they would like forcibly cut down eating and sleeping. But then they would often sleep at odd times. Like or during the Bhagavatam class, not so odd. In the early time I was in the movement, I was under one devotee who was pushing me to sleep less, so I did. I'm just giving an example of myself, but it was normal. Devotees would just so I was sleeping less, but then once, actually that devotee who's pushing me is a sannyasi and guru in our movement now, and what happened one day after 1 month of this, another devotee who's also a sannyasi and guru in our movement now, he woke me up 3 times during Guru Puja. I was standing up in Guru Puja. He woke me up 3 times during Guru Puja because I was just exhausted. So, artificially. We should try to cut, but artificially, if we try to do so, that may not be very wise to do so. And also another factor which we have to mention is important, is that often devotees, they're pushing, and they're driving and they crash. And there have been many devotee car crashes. They're trying to go fast because they want to get to the next place. But they're also tired. And I'm pretty sure that the incidence of devotee car crashes is higher than that of non-devotees. That's not good. So these are all various factors we have to consider. Anything else?
You just mentioned in the lecture that about the farm communities where two or three brahmacharis go and start a farm, but then not all grihasthas are willing to come down, so ultimately the farm fails. So is there any thought on cultivating Krishna consciousness among primarily agrarian societies in villages itself, which are already established?
Yeah, Prabhupada wanted that. So in Hyderabad he was telling about we should make, there were so many villages all around the land that was given in Hyderabad, so make a temple. Actually Prabhupada said just make a small temple and preach all around among the...
Has it successfully been done somewhere?
No, not that I'm aware of. A generation ago it might have been more possible in India. It's more difficult now because everyone, people don't want to stay on the land. Even though still the majority of people in India live in villages, but they're in urban consciousness. Once I was in Bundelkhand, which is on the UP-MP border, poor area. It's a long way from any big city. And we did a program, and then I asked, where are all the young people? And they said Surat, which is 15 hours train journey from the... The majority of them are in Surat, Gujarat, working in the factories. They don't want to stay on the land. Srila Prabhupada said that people can stay on the land if they have bhakti, because you have to live simply. That was Prabhupada's revolutionary solution, that there's so many problems with this modern society, just get out of it, live according to our own standards. It's not impossible to be Krishna conscious in the city, but it's the time that we need for hearing and chanting is much restricted by the demands of modern life and the pressure of this, the lower modes of nature, of gross materialism, also make it quite difficult. And bringing up children in such an atmosphere, very difficult to make them Krishna conscious. So that was Prabhupada's plan, still to be effectively implemented. Anything else? Yeah, please.
So Maharaji, like, especially people who are predominated by passion, like they're still recommended to work as they proceed in the sadhana bhakti, so that gradually they get purified of their tendencies and eventually they can come to the higher modes. So do you recommend...
You're going to ask a question based on a premise. But if the premise is not correct, then there's no point in asking the question. It's just like asking if all trees are red, then why do some of them appear blue? So, but all trees aren't red. So, you've said that those who are, this is Arjuna's mistake, which he kept on making in Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna kept on correcting him, that those are in the mode of passion work, and they're recommended to go on working so they become purified, then they become to the mode of goodness, and then transcend that. But Lord Krishna explained again and again to Arjuna that there is work in good, work is not necessarily symptomatic of the mode of passion. There's work in goodness also. And beyond that, there's work in Krishna consciousness. So it's not that when one comes to a higher platform, one stops work. But then one works in purified consciousness. Alright? Now, do you want to ask your question? Do you want to revise the question? Or?
So the question is, like, is there any pre-qualification for the people who can move the farm communities, or anybody can sustain over the period of time?
Well, pre-qualification, that Prabhupada said, it requires bhakti. To be satisfied, to live simply. One cannot live simply there's force of circumstances is one thing. But one cannot voluntarily accept that unless one has a higher taste. If one wants to have the opportunity to have lots of hearing and chanting, and he's prepared to accept that, but not have tap water or electricity, if one considers that more valuable, then one is able to do so. I was recently at one fledgling farm community of devotees in Karnataka, where a devotee who's heading it up told me that devotees, they find it physically difficult, but mentally much easier. And he wasn't talking about spiritually, he was talking about mentally. Because just being in the city, even if you're chanting Hare Krishna, we don't realize how much mental difficulty, there's the bombardment of the senses all the time. But when you're completely removed from that, then the mind becomes much more peaceful automatically. And although the whole modern society is aimed at making everything convenient, actually hard work, some physical hard work, it's both physically and mentally good to do that. On that, in Karnataka, I was saying, near Belgaum, the devotees, they carry water. They have to carry water from the stream below. So they have to go fill up the pots, and then they have this, what's that, it's called a yoke in English, what's it called in Hindi?
Hindi is called kamar.
Hmm?
Kamar.
Kamar?
Kamar, kamar.
It's like some bamboo.
Yeah.
So they walk with that. They have to walk up the hill with the two heavy pots. So hard work. But there's, physically it's very healthy to do. And that also gives some, if one is physically healthy, that also, by doing that hard work, that also helps to keep one mentally healthy. By not doing any physical work, we also become mentally even dull-headed and dissatisfied. So, you may think, why am I doing this? I can go to the city and turn on the tap.
So just 300 years ago, people did not have running water or any of the modern amenities.
300?
100 years ago.
In most of India, I was traveling in villages in Bangladesh and West Bengal. Just over 20 years ago. And there was no electricity.
It's there in your books.
Electrification of India just came recently. And immediately the whole moral culture went whew. During the 1980s, when we were traveling, 1990s, early 1990s, were traveling in areas of Rajasthan, and it was very easy to tell which village. During the daytime, when there's no light, you could still understand very clearly just by entering a village whether they had electricity or not, without looking at the plan, just the whole attitude of the people. Once they get electricity, they get TV, finished. TV has caused so much disturbance. Another question that comes up again and again is how to raise our children in this modern society, how to educate them. Well, here's a suggestion, if any of you are bold enough to take it up. Just cut out of the modern society. You've earned money, instead of having a big house, you can buy a hut in a village, in a holy place in India, live simply, and raise your kids yourself. Teach them yourself what you want to teach them, instead of what some demoniac government wants to teach them. There's a suggestion. There are people who do that. I mean, I know from different Sri Vaishnava traditions, Smartha traditions, there are people who are earning lots of money and they just say, hey, I don't want this, and they just cut right out and live in what others would call poverty, and other people call them crazy, but they don't care. They say, I want to live like this. I want this for my children. I brought these children into the world. Now I have the responsibility for them, not to subject them to, not to make them such petty-minded people that they think if I don't get Coca-Cola and hamburgers and sweets and all the time, I have to give them something. Otherwise, they're not satisfied. What kind of, from the very beginning, they're constantly this. Instead of teaching sense control, from the very beginning they're taught sense indulgence all the time, non-stop. So there are people who are bold enough to just say, I don't want this. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to live life the way our noble forefathers have done so. Never mind. Friends, family, everyone calls me crazy. Many times I think, actually, people, even they become initiated, they don't become Guru Das. They remain friends, family, society Das. Because they're more interested in what their friends, family, and society say. And they live their life more according to that than according to what the Guru says. They're more concerned. What will people say? What will my mother say? What will my sister say? What will everyone say? Then why have guru? Decoration. You can put the picture on the wall. Get blessed.